Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Good Radio Network, radio that does a world of good. This isn't your average talk radio show.
Blah, 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 blah.
We're blasting away the old tried and not so true mold. Instead, TGRN turns talk into action. And action leads to doing positive things for people, our environment, and even the animals.
Well, I'm only one person. What can I do?
A lot. Join host Frankie Picasso while she turns talk into doing and gets results. This is the Good Radio Network. Yes, you can do it if you try, even if you're just a regular guy. Now, here's your host, Frankie Picasso.
Good day, and thank you for joining us on the Good Radio Network. If you are listening to us live, feel free to call in and join our conversation. The call-in number is 845-241-9943. And if you're listening to the archive version, thank you so much for taking your time to listen to us. It means a lot to me when I see those numbers of downloads rise each week. So thanks again for that. If I sound a little funny to you, well, there is a reason. I had some surgery last week in my life, and I may have jumped the gun a little bit as far as returning to work. But, you know, that's what us type A's do. So please bear with me and know and hope that I will sound as good as I'm short. You know what I would really love? I would love for you guys to write about the good things that happen in your life. I'm going to call it Tell Me Something Good. And I'm going to share this on YouTube come the fall. We all need to hear some good news every day, and this can be your premier place to find some. So I'm still on the lookout for ambassadors of good. Maybe it's you. Maybe you want to nominate someone that you know who's doing good things in the world. So send them our way, because we want to know all about them. You may remember me writing that the Good Radio Network is also on the lookout for people who have what can I do to change the world. And not just the big world. Yeah, we've had some big guns on here. The one that you live in, too. The world that's close to your heart and your home. Community, street, making your world a safer, happier, healthier place for those whom you call friends and neighbors. My guest today has done just that. He is a man for all reasons and seasons. His name is Styles Q, and giving is his game. Styles has done many things in his life. He's worked in the entertainment business for 20 years. He's owned and worked in some top nightclubs around Toronto, Canada, and we'll ask him about that. He's worked for Air Canada in their food service division. He owned In Style Jeans at York University. Toronto. And last year, he ran for city council in his home riding. Today, he owns a promotion marketing company called Styles Q Corporate Imaging. And in addition to all of that, this gentleman finds time to give in his community, promoting and getting donations for the ride that so far he's raised and added $60,000 to their building fund. He is big, he is fresh, he is bold, and he's my friend. Welcome, Mr. Styles Q. Welcome.
Thank you very much, Frankie Picasso, and it's been a great pleasure to have this opportunity to once again connect with you, and congratulations on your show, and I think it's a great opportunity for people to come on and discuss some of the good things that are happening. Aren't we always inundated with all the horrible things that are happening, and this is a great perspective to get people come out and say what is great is happening out there. Thank you.
Thank you. I agree. You know, I saw that picture. I presented a picture today of you receiving a recognition award for your achievements from the city of Vaughan. How did that make you feel?
I was quite surprised to get it. I have a couple of mixed emotions about that. And the first thing is I want to thank the city of Vaughan for presenting not only to myself, but to other people, other recipients who have done great things. And the mixed feelings that I had about receiving that, we didn't have an opportunity to say anything, but that award should go out to the entire committee, not just to myself. And I really want to make it very clear that what I do reflects on the team that I work with. So it's just not myself who feels the need to go out and do positive things. I have a great support team, all volunteers, by the way, from all walks of life. Some people ride, some people don't. And they should have also had their names on there, but as long as you know, there's a whole team behind it. And I think that's it was a great opportunity to receive such a great honor for myself as well as for my team.
That's very generous of you, and I agree. It takes a whole village to do something like that. But you're the leader, and you started and organized it. And so, you know, I started a recognition program in the government many years ago. And one of the things I'm doing with this show is for people to be recognized. They're not asking. I don't think that, you know, anybody like yourself are asking for that recognition. They're doing it because they have a big heart. But it's nice to know at the same time that people are looking and acknowledging, you know, that you're doing something special. So was that the first time you received an award like that?
You know what? We have received several awards. I mean, everything from the CDA to, you know, community services. But you know, I think that since we have dedicated our efforts to the city of Vaughan, aside from an award given to us by the McKenzie Hospital Foundation, that was along with our city recognition are the two awards that I'm most proud of.
You know, we want to talk about the hospital, we want to talk about the ride, but I also want to talk about how people get involved with the things that you're doing. Because, like, people do say, I'm just one person, what can I do? And they think that it's that change, you know, has to be in a big, big way, and that they have to know tons of people, and they have to be somebody special. But really, you know, just having a decision, making that decision to be involved and volunteer with something is creating change. So when was the first time that you actually thought about civic duty and others? Maybe it wasn't civic. Maybe it was something else. Well, do you remember the first time you thought about, gee, I want to do something?
Well, that's an excellent question. And I just want to get into the fact that every person out there isn't always stimulated by what's in it for me. As a matter of fact, the majority of people out there really want an opportunity to volunteer. Without volunteers, without people who want to focus into an area or an interest, we would be lost. So I think that deep down inside, maybe not so deep, people want to get involved. You would be surprised at how easy it was for me to get some of the initial partners involved when we first started off with the Red Ride, which I'm sure you'll get into a little bit later on. We put an ad in the paper. People, you know, friends, family, all joined together, and it was really, really pretty easy to do. And also, once the ride starts going, and once you have accomplishments that are being met, people will come up to me and say, how can I help? So it wasn't that difficult.
But just for you personally, I don't know, maybe you were 15, maybe you were 20, maybe you were 50. When was the first time you thought, gee, you know what, I want to volunteer. I feel like giving.
Okay, great question again. Let's just start at the beginning. And I thought, how can I, you know, combine what I like to what I need? And I'll be honest with you, my volunteer was a little bit on the selfish side because I'm diabetic. So when we first started putting together a ride, we decided to combine the ride with one of the clubs that I was a member with, and they were looking for a cause. And I said, let's start the Red Ride, Ride to End Diabetes. And we put together a ride so that we could combine both pleasures of contributing to a worthy organization, as well as putting something that's fun together. That's where we first started. So yeah, we kind of put together the two interests, and we were looking for the recipient of our efforts. So as you may or may not, as your audience may or may not know, some of the greatest fundraisers and I guess the social minded people are motorcycle enthusiasts. There are many rides: the Bad Ride, Ride for Dad, Ride for Sight. You know, the and of course, Mackenzie Vaughn Hospital Motorcycle Ride. So we are very generous people, including the Veterans Ride. I don't want to forget them. So we take a lot of areas and concentrate. As a matter of fact, I'm sure that there are many rides every single weekend of the summer. So to get my interest was piqued when I went in and I said, you know what, let's do the Diabetes Ride. Now, what happened from there is that moving into Vaughan and being civic-minded the way that I am, I picked a cause, which is building the new hospital at Major McKenzie and Jane. And from Wonderland. And I said, you know, basically, what is a common denominator? How can we facilitate something that will be effective to everybody? This new hospital is located right on the highway. It is located, right, you know, get off the McKenzie exit, and you are right there at 400 and McKenzie. So we will effectively be able to service not only the city of Vaughan, but we'll also be, we're going to be a trauma unit. We're going to be a teaching hospital with the state-of-the-art facilities. What better destination for our work than having something that will benefit all?
And on a highway that contributes or has many traumatic accidents.
it's notorious for that, eh?
Yeah, but you know what I find? First of all, our listeners are from all over the world. So, you know, being specific to you, that's great. They may not know. But what you can listen to if you don't live in this area is how it translates to where you do live and how you, too, can put a ride or something together if you need a hospital, because the tools are the same. It's just a different locale. So, you know, they call motorcyclists organ donors. And so the organ donors are putting their you know, hospital together for when they have their time of need. Kind of funny in a way.
Okay. Can we qualify exactly? Are you talking? What do you mean by organ donors? Are you saying? Can you be more elaborate on that?
I'm not talking about people who have actually signed their driver's license to donate organs. I'm talking about that motorcyclists in the trauma field are known as organ donors because of the traumatic accidents and the shape they come in on when they've had an accident after being on a motorcycle.
Okay, let's talk
like
about
myself
that for a second here. Yeah, I was there, Frankie.
I was there.
Okay, all right. So first of all, let me just tell you and to your listeners a little bit of the background about how your accident happened, because I think I was, you know, I was there. And we were, it was a beautiful day. There was nothing going on. I mean, it was, we were on a side road 17, and you were riding correctly. You were doing everything. We were not going fast. We were cruising. We were having a nice time, and there, you know, unfortunately, somebody blew through a stop sign, and, you know, I know the accident was unfortunate. Could have been worse. But anyways, there's no question about it that if you undertake the hobby of becoming a motorcycle enthusiast, there is a higher risk value, because if you had the steel around you in a car, I mean, probably nothing would have happened because of the low speed impact that we're going. I understand that. But in general, and I say this in general, motorcycle enthusiasts, motorcycle riders, I classify them as two people. One, I classify as the organ donors, which are the high-speed, high, you know, I mean, these guys go from zero to a billion in 2 seconds, and they're what we call commonly known as a crotch rocket. I've seen how they ride. I've seen how they react. I've seen their purposes. It really is I'm not a supporter of that, but off right. You go. The majority of accidents, and I would say probably about 96%, are those with involved in that kind of an act, in that kind of a riding style. I ride a cruiser, and as do you, or as had you, and we ride cruising. We We are capable, we're not really into riding fast. We're into the spirit of the ride, the thrill of the ride, the scenery and where we can go. Sorry?
Yeah, I said just enjoying the ride.
Enjoying the ride.
Smells, the
now, that's it. Now, we are not, even though you go slow, we are not immune to accidents because, as I said before, you were doing everything that was correct. And unfortunately, impact on a motorcycle is, probably about 50 times more than in a car, depending on what speed you're going. But there is training that you should go on. And every time you go on a motorcycle, if you are a sophisticated, mature rider, you go through your steps in the head, and you know that even though you don't have a stop sign, there's a crosswalk, you have to be aware that some guy will just blow right through it or cut you off. There's all kinds of things that you really should have proper training for when you ride on a motorcycle.
Agreed. I agree with that. And, it's unfortunate that you are treated differently in the hospital. When you're in a car accident, nobody says you shouldn't have gotten that car and driven someplace. But being in a motorcycle accident, many times I said, what the heck were you doing on a motorcycle? Like, it's, a no-no. And, I honestly have to say, because I know that you feel this way, that it's one of the greatest pleasures in life is to ride a bike. It's so much fun, and I feel, deprived of the joy of that, and it makes me sad. Many days I feel very sad about that. It was the medical community who said, organ donors. But it is funny how they treat you differently, being in a car accident or a motorcycle. It's your own fault. You should have been on a bike.
You know what? I wonder, and they're, you know what? They have a position that when people come in who have been involved in a motorcycle accident, their immediate reaction is what are you doing in a motorcycle? I'm just kind of wondering if somebody had cancer, they walk to the door and say, you're a smoker. What are you doing smoking? Or you're this. I mean, not that there's a fair comparison by any means at all, Frankie, but I got to tell you that there are risks involved in anything that you do. And for us to categorize why somebody is in accident, why did you cut your thumb off, why did you hold the saw this way, there are a lot of things that you do, why did you drop the hot iron in your foot? I mean, that's what they call it, accidents. They don't call it on purpose. You say, well, listen, there are things that we do that we have enjoyment to do. Is there a risk factor? Yes. Is there entertainment value? Yes. Is there a challenge? Yes. Are we perfect? Absolutely not. But for the most part, we are handlers of our motorcycle, and we have external variables that we have to look into and be trained. The person who gets on a motorcycle that is not trained, the person who gets on a motorcycle for the need for speed is asking for trouble. So the next time you see a motorcycle accident, I implore you, see what kind of motorcycle it is. Chances are it will be be one of those crotch rockets and at a high speed. You'll see very few cruisers, not that you won't see any, but you will see very few cruisers in that incident.
Well, let's go back to your red ride, because that ride to end diabetes was pretty successful. How much money did you raise?
It was. I'm sorry?
How much money did you guys raise?
We raised $50,000, and how we did that, we had tremendous sponsors. We were giving out a motorcycle. It was a really, really high involvement with different people. The CDA was involved. It was a first run, and really, it was a very, very, very successful ride.
And that must have felt like absolutely amazing, handing over a check for that amount of money to the Canadian Diabetes.
It was really something. It was really something else. We felt good about it. But we decided, and some of the things that we looked at the CDA, which is a wonderful organization, don't get me wrong, but we decided that in our next endeavor to isolate our funds for a direct contribution to something. In other words, when you give to the CDA, which is a very, very, very worthy cause, there are a lot of areas in which they go into. And we felt that in moving forward with the new Mackenzie Vaughan Hospital Motorcycle Ride, we really felt that our criteria from the hospital was to make sure that all the monies that are raised go directly into building. We pay nobody as far as salaries. We pay no advertisement. Everything is in a special account that goes directly to the bricks of building that hospital. So we have control of where we wanted our money to go to, and that's why we picked that cause.
Yeah, well, that makes a lot of sense. You know, sometimes it's just too big and too vague, and you have no idea what they're going to do with it, if they're going to do anything, if they're paying salaries with it, whatever. So mm-hmm. It makes a lot of sense to do what you guys did. So what would you say are the skills needed or necessary in order to be successful, like you've been, at raising money or, you know, organizing these rides? What would they be able to?
Okay, so in our case, I mean, you know, it's great that I own, you know, Styles Cube Corporate Imaging, which is a marketing company, and I have a lot of the tools that are designed to promote and show people who you are, and I've taken a lot of those tools and applied them to actually, raising money. You also know. Please understand, I'm pretty well known in the city of Vaughan, and I have a lot of connections. And one of the things to get money from a lot of people is to do events. Coming up in 2016, we're going to have a whole different direction that we're going to be taking. I think the key to this is knowing that it becomes a business. And unfortunately, or fortunately, you have to handle this business. We're able to raise between $16,000 and $20,000 a year. That's based on four meetings, okay? It really is a lot of hard work behind something, but we're looking to start raising $250,000. Now, in order to do the small causes, you have to pick out where your commitment is going to be and how that commitment is going to address whoever shares that feeling. For example, as I said before, the common denominator here is a hospital, which will apply to everybody, whether you have cancer, whether you have a blood disease, whether you have a broken leg, or whether you need x-rays, or you're pregnant, or you know, birth, or whatever it is, whether you need ongoing care. All those things, you know, have that as a common denominator. So you pick a cause where you cannot get a door, and that person will identify your cause with themselves. It's only natural.
Right.
The first thing they're going to say to yourself, this could happen to me, okay?
Right.
The second thing that you have to identify is, this has happened to my ever, whatever, okay? My father, my mother, my brother, my sister, they identify the cause. So the next thing you need is identification factor, which, you know, would be the common denominator that you're bounding or you're binding together with somebody else. You're hitting their sensitivity and their commitment and their goodwill inside them, okay? So this is where you're doing. The other part, which is also important, and don't get me wrong, it's very, very important, that when you identify with corporate, God bless them, we need them, but they're also in it for recognition. They want to know, they want to tell the people of the world, even though we are big and even though we make money, we give back to the community, and that's really important. So, again, they're looking for causes that will be broad, and they're looking for causes that will identify that corporation, that image, with your sensitivity, therefore creating a recognition, a bonding, and a loyalty brand behind that. So that's where we're going in 2016.
Okay. So they're going to be in alignment with people's values, and you are... Okay, well, let me ask you this. I mean, you know, socialpreneurship is becoming, you know, very big. And like you just said, organizations are looking to be able to give money to causes that make people feel good about them and makes the company feel good that they're doing something, whether they're doing it for the right reasons or the wrong reasons, at least they're doing it. A lot of people have found compassion fatigue to be a real detriment in finding money, raising money, people giving money. Not on the corporate level necessarily, but individual. They were asked at the grocery store, somewhere, on the phone at night, you're eating dinner, can you give money? Can you give $2 a dollar? Can you round up today at Tim Hortons or wherever and give money? So, like you said, we all have our own passions, our own causes that we want to give to. A hospital in a community, that's, you know, that's kind of a no-brainer for everybody. We're all going to end up there one day. But have you come across compassion fatigue?
Okay, you call it compassion fatigue, and which is a very good terminology. You know, burnout. Yeah. Also, it separates. Well, I don't know about the word separate. It certainly becomes arm's length or numbifying to all the causes. You know, like I give to this, I give to that, and every time, Bob, people are reluctant to go into a sponsor. Say, oh, by the way, Bob, can you sponsor me for the ride? And 2 months later, oh, you remember I sponsored you for the ride, and so therefore you have to sponsor me for the ride. It becomes what I call the birthday present syndrome. Okay, so you know you have to understand that the only way you win is that you get more people buying you presents than you have to buy for them. I mean, it's basic economics. So when you talk to somebody and you know you try to equalize what they're doing, even though the individual is giving you money, that individual is asked 20, 30 times or 10 times or whatever times. It becomes the burnout. Where does it stop? Where is my disposable income going to be limited? How do you say no? So your contributions become less and less and less. It's like anything else. The more you dilute your contributions, the less it becomes. And case in point, you know, as I said before at the beginning, we have a ride every single weekend. If it's the ride for literacy, if it's the ride, and I've mentioned them before, how many times can I go to a corporate and say, this is what we're all about? So we cap ourselves out, and again, it becomes a business. And this is what Styles Q Corporate Imaging will be doing with the ride. What we will do, and I'm sorry if you think if people may say it's selfish reasons, but that's the way the world works. And, you know, why can't we have fun at doing it? And because, you know, we should do that. Give somebody a great time in the evening, throw a gala, have entertainment. I mean, give them something that, you know, maybe they're going to go out and have a good time and use some of their opportunities to have a fun-filled evening, a great ride, an appreciation. And this is where we create a new and, a really great experience for somebody. That's what we're looking to do. Everybody wants to get to the hospital. Everybody wants to get to cancer. Everybody, it's just riding down the Don Valley or taking a dip in the polar or whatever. These are marketing techniques that are there to raise money. We need that. So we have to ensure that money is going to the causes that they want, as well as having a good time and getting there. Nothing wrong with that.
True. So it's big parties, big galas.
You know, chances are our ride on Sunday costs you $35, okay, and $10 for your passenger, or $15 for your passenger. Sorry, majority of people throw me a $100 bill. Okay, yeah, keep it. It's okay. Okay, and they'll walk out with great music. They'll walk out with prizes. They'll walk out with food. They'll be stuffed. We don't have alcohol, so I mean soft drinks or whatever. After the ride is over, if you want to hang around, then you can do whatever you want. But this is going to be sponsored, by the way, for Wegg's Sports Stadium at 2601 Rutherford Road. I mean, we start there, we end there. Great sports, you know, facility, and really, it's going to be a great time. The golf range will be open. They have indoor golf. They have, so it's a family affair. They certainly can go out there. You don't have to be a rider, and it's just supporting, but it's having a great time as well. If they walk around, if they walk out with some value add, perfect.
Yeah. You know, let's mention the website now. It's probably a good time. So the Mackenzie Bond Motorcycle Ride website.
It was called, you know what, it was a big deal behind that, and I don't know if I should get into it on the air, but anyways, it is Mackenzie Vaughn Hospital Motorcycle Ride. I know it's a long website. I know it's, and it, originally we called it the Vaughn Hospital Motorcycle Ride. Really, really, really simple. We were going to call it, hospitalinvon.com, but HIV.com really dissociated with something else. And I couldn't go there, Frankie. I mean, it took away from everything. And I go, well, you know, what's up with that, you know? So, anyway, I know, but it's a long, you know, but it's really, yeah. It kind of doesn't send the message. I was really, you know, I'm sorry, I just couldn't use it. But it's the Mackenzie Vaughn Hospital Motorcycle Ride. Now, you know, this is .com or .ca. We have both. You can go on there, check it out. We get as many pictures as there. And let me just tell you about the hospital itself. It really will be a state-of-the-art hospital. It will be everything that you can possibly imagine. Vaughan City is the only city that does not have its own hospital. I mean, as the size that we have. And we are looking forward to it. We have city council supporting it. We have the public supporting it. We've been paying through our taxes for it. We have some issues that have to be solved, but they'll be done. And, you know, sooner than later, they will have our hospital.
Wow. Hopefully, you know, they come up with a way to eliminate wait times, all the negative things that happen with hospitals that are so easy to change. It's so obvious while you sit there and say, yeah, you know what, this is like, we could eliminate this. No worries, no problem. But it seems to always come to money. You know, it always comes down to money. The nursing situation,
you know,
not hiring nurses full time, that kind of stuff.
You know what, Frankie? Let me tell you something. I'm very, very familiar about the hospital system. And it's really funny that when we look at it as an isolated, localized issue, then we look at wait times, okay? But when you look at it globally, even in the States, oh, when you privatize medicine, it's so much better. Nonsense, okay? It is absolute nonsense. You have just as much wait time that you have in the United States as you do here, as you do in England. The issues are when you have serious situations versus very small situations or what I call, you know, tiny trauma.
Right.
And everybody who has a problem, you know, will sit there and go, listen, I'd like to look after your broken toe. This guy here has a problem with his heart. What do you want me to do? Okay, that's a problem.
Wait, let me stop you there, because that really is the crux of it. If they would just go through very quickly and triage that whole hospital room, because all people want is to be acknowledged. Yes, I see you. I see that you have a broken toe. Oh, you've got your head is bleeding. Okay, let's do something about you. If they would just acknowledge everybody very quickly, put them into groups, severe, not so severe, you know, broken toe, it would be go immediately for x-ray, so you don't have to wait 3-4 hours before you get seen. Then they go, oh, now you have to go for an x-ray. It would be so easy to eliminate wait time. So easy. And people wouldn't be so frustrated because they had somebody has acknowledged them and said, I see you.
Well, you know, I'd like to agree with you, and I think you are 90% correct. Unfortunately, there is another end of it as well. And, you know, what happens if you get three people out of a car accident? You take a look around. Let's just take, for example, the hospitals that we have available. There's one doctor that will – they try to schedule a doctor, whether you're associated with other doctors as well, or other hospitals rather. One doctor will be going from this hospital to that hospital to that hospital to that hospital. It's the same doctor.
Okay. Right.
It's the same guy. It's not just a guy who's sitting there. I mean, you know, these people you have to understand. Let's just take an example. A doctor gets up and in 1 hour, all right, he has 20 patients that he has to see, look in the room, and he has to go in there. And he has to do his triage, he has to do his evaluation, he has to do his performance, and he has to do his results. All of these things, let's say take 15 minutes, let's say 10 minutes, okay? Let's just say any doctor is not going to walk in for 3 minutes, you would sue him, all right? So it's going to take him 10 minutes, and 10 minutes for each patient is 6 patients. You've got 20 patients in 1 hour. How do you do it? And never mind doing the report, never mind doing the follow-ups, never mind, you know, the administration. And he's got to have some lunch, too, once in a while, you know. The problem that we have here is, and I'm going to tell you this right to your face, okay? So listen here, Frankie, and listen here, people, because I'm going to tell you what one of the answers is. Okay, we have a gray market out there, okay? And our gray market is, I'll pay you cash. Okay, do this for me, I'll pay you cash. Don't pay the taxes. What the hell's wrong with you people? All right? I am so ticked off by people telling me, I'll pay you cash. Sure, it's going to benefit you right now. But who do you think you're kidding? All right? You spend billions of dollars, of tax dollars, and then you go to the hospitals that we have no money. Well, where do you think it comes from, Frankie? Where the heck do you think these things come from? There is no money in the system. So if you want to hire more doctors who really deserve anywhere between $175 and $250 a year, these people, they go to school for 10, 15 years. You know that, okay? And when they get in the working force and they say, we need more money, hey, do my property, I'll give you cash. Where's the money coming from, Frankie? Okay, so that I know I sound pretty upset about
well, you know,
it, but I am.
Well, I agree. Okay, OHIP has structured so that they cap their salary. There's no other business out there that has a salary cap like doctors. However, having said that, nurses could do a lot of the work that doctors do, but they don't want to pay them benefits, so they only hire them part-time up to so many hours, and then they don't get any more hours. And our doctors, the good ones were raped. They were taken by the states because the states offered them big money. And, you know, who doesn't want to pay back their medical bills or their schooling? Most people want to do that. It costs a lot of money to set up a private practice. But to have, more than one doctor on an ER would be ideal, obviously. But not everything requires a doctor. Like a nurse practitioner could look after those colds, could look after a lot of the stuff that a doctor does. But give them their due. Give them the benefits that they're looking for. That's just unbelievable. You know, personally, myself, I understand because I waited a whole year to get my broken rod fixed. So that meant I walked on a broken leg for a year because the hospital decided that they don't do surgery after 3 o'clock because then they would have to pay nurses overtime. So now you've backed up the system a year.
You know what, Frankie, there's no question that if you put something together, I mean, there is a balance. There is an equilibrium that everybody should get paid what they should get paid, what they're deserving. And a lot of cases, you're correct. Let's take the doctors, for example. Let's take the nurses. Nurses, for example, the most underrated, underpaid group of people that ever was put in the face of this earth, okay? You gotta give them along with teachers, okay? I'm sorry. I could never be either one of them because I would have lost my cool a long time ago. And I don't, you can't pay them enough for me. All right. I'm just letting you know, these guys, you have no idea. Every individual, and they expect, people expect 100% for them, and they try and they try and they try. I understand that. Again, it is a business. And gray market affects that business. I know I'm trying to put this through to you, but it is all about money, okay? Now, I'd like to even talk about some of the exorbitant costs that we give to CEOs and to CFOs and to the packages. Let's not get into that, but we have an issue here where the system is broken. And if anybody ever needs a hospital, it's the Medicare system, okay? OHIP, et cetera, et cetera. So let's move on to the brain drain. And as far as getting people going into the United States, it does happen. And that's really a non-issue, because if you're a doctor, you know, if you're an MD, you want to go to the States, the doors fly open. If you're a nurse, the doors fly open. So healthcare is the number one issue. Insofar as getting treatment is concerned, what bothers me, again, is that we need more doctors and we need more nurses, but you can't, you know, we need to funnel the correct funds to get those people going. And again, there's all kinds of holes in the system that money just flushes right out, and that bothers me. That's why I ran for counselor. That's why I'm in politics. Because, you know, I'm not in it, I'm in it for the right reasons and not for the wrong reasons. But getting back to what you're saying, you're right, we need nurses. We have to appreciate who they are, and you have to open the scope. Not just the nurses. Let's move someplace else. A guy comes from Russia. A guy comes from wherever, an Eastern Bloc country, completely capable of performing his due diligence in the medical world, okay? They put up so many roadblocks, those people can't practice here. Right. Why? I don't know. Why? If the guy comes to the doctor and he has to spend 6 months showing you and proving to you what he can do, why are you stopping him? Why you say, well, your medical degree is no good? Why don't they well, listen, if you're from, you know, wherever, blah, 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 Europe, and, you know, you have a degree that you bought, I understand. But there are remedies to examine that. You give him a year, you say this, you give him,
sure,
you know, or her, by the way, give him or her, you know, certain tasks and what do you call that, you know, to elevate them very quickly, speed track them through the system, you got yourself a doctor. I have three neighbors who are doctors, can't become doctors. It's just too much because there's only so much room. They have to take the medical again, and there's only so much room in the colleges for them to be allowed. They take up a seat, and they don't want to do that. And this is really controlled and regulated way beyond control, okay? It's way if you allow that to happen, that alleviates the pressure. If you gave the nurses more power, that alleviates. But we have so many rules and regulations that are just there to protect, given to you by the, you know, American and Canadian medical associations that really hold you back. Now, they're there for a reason. I have to tell you that those reasons have changed. Necessity commands and demands that you know, you have to allow them to ease that pressure, and that's what it is.
Well, they could probably become doctors if they agreed to go to Timbuktu for Fort Francis. Places like that.
Yeah. In all seriousness, sometimes we create our own problems through the bureaucracy, and that really bothers me.
Yeah. Well, red tape is always. People
well,
have great
I
ideas.
Don't know if you.
I worked for the government for 10 years. I know what it's like. There was some
red
tape.
Listen, I worked for Air Canada for many years, and when I did work for Air Canada, it was a crown corporation. And let me tell you, that was a lot of fun. You know,
yeah, sure.
I mean, you want me to, you know, if you want me to work 3 hours a day? Are you out of your mind? Are you crazy? Like, you know. Anyways, let's not get negative on that. The positive things are.
The positive stuff.
Is that.
Yeah.
And the positive points, I think that coming up, we have people who should get involved in knowing what is going on and demand changes from our government, whether it's liberal, conservative, NDP, or whatever. Demand. People in Canada are very complacent. We don't get out and get involved. Sorry, that's the other problem that we have. We just, they believe
a lot of the spinning. I just wrote about
that
this morning. I wrote about it on Facebook about, you know, the extinction of the black rhino. Why are they extinct? Because of apathy.
Okay, I read that.
But
I'll tell you.
I'm going to let you make that point, but then we're going to come back to something else. Because I don't want to talk about politics. That's not what the show is about. I want to talk about the characteristics and the opportunities that exist in, let's say, volunteerism for people who are looking at work, let's say, and looking for new skill sets. Volunteerism is a wonderful way to gain those. So if people were looking to volunteer, let's say, with Acme Motorcycle or with the Mackenzie Vaughn Ride, what kinds of roles could they take on that could transfer to real-life skill?
Great, fantastic question. Good for you. We amass different roles and different responsibilities. And what we try and do with our volunteers is we make them responsible and we make them accountable. We try to say, we'll make you 100% responsible for this action, and you will be 100% accountable. What does that mean? It means that we will recognize you the best way that we can. So whether you're a student or whether you're going into the working market, we will acknowledge the fact that you did this. So if you're part, say, of the organization, you will get a certificate that says, you know, you organized this part of it. You are a great event planner. You are a great,
project manager.
You were able to project manager. Thank you. You know, these are things that will help you go into the working world, and these are things that will be on your resume. So that's a great question. And also, in this day and age, you know, not mine, but in this day and age, you know, you have to qualify. There's what they call for internship. In my day, there was never such thing as internship. But now this is an important part, and we really acknowledge and support that. Well, that's a fabulous question. And certainly, you know, this is one of our magnets that bring us to attract people who are going to get involved. Combine their needs with the needs of our organization. It's a win-win-win situation.
How many people can volunteer with your organization?
Frankie, I'm impressed. You've got some great questions. Not that I didn't expect anything less, but, you know, can you over-volunteer? Maybe,
yeah.
You know, I mean, where is your level? That's amazing. I, you know what? That's super. Yes, you can have too many people, you know, too many chefs or cooks spoil the chef or whatever that goes. Yeah, that's a problem. But for the most part, there are key roles where you draw the line. You want to make sure that that person or those people or that group can perform the task. You know, it's one thing to have, you know, sweat equity in your ride, but I mean there are areas where we have to draw a line and say, for example, the routes. I don't do anything of the route. For those of you who don't know me like you do, I will get lost trying to find the ensuite in my bedroom. I have no sense of direction whatsoever, you know. So this person, that's the route. You know, whatever I think of it, that's great. Thank you very much, and I trust you. I can only tell you about the route after the ride, you know. So I get qualified people to do that. Qualified people to you know, work with WEGs, qualified people, you know, who do the barbecue. So these are things that we look for. They're specializing, but as far as a ride is concerned, you know, we need a good 25, 30 people, and we're happy.
So good leadership that you are able to let some of that go. I'm going to ask you from a structure perspective because, you know, if somebody wants to replicate and do this in their hometown and have never done one before, might be helpful. So do you have what I would call an executive committee and then a broader team committee? Do you do structure like that? So, you know, maybe you've got a core group of decision makers at 5 or 10, and then you've got these 30 volunteers, or is everybody in on it?
Economics 101, they'll teach you that in order for you to have a successful event, whatever it is, let's just call it widgets, whatever your widget is, you have to create the organizational structure. And, you know, that is fed by the cause itself and whatever that is. So really, there's a physics behind business. And when we look at that, Frankie, you know, you have your controls and you have your responsibilities. And those controls and those responsibilities change not on a day-to-day basis, but a minute-by-minute basis. You have to be in a position that when you are 100% volunteer, you have limitations. When you are combined with a direct party involvement, you have different rules. So to answer your question, if you're a group of people having a bake sale, it's really easy. When you have a group of people, you know, you put some signs out in the post, you talk to some people, you have little flags that people drive by and here, buy a coffee, get a car wash, where we raise $1,500. Great. When you're looking to raise thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars, you have to have a very tight corporate identity and structure in order to move forward. So if you want to start something, make sure the cause is there, make sure your support is there, and make sure your action is there. Put timelines on what you're doing. Make sure that you check and double check the results of what you're doing. Every idea is not going to be successful, but the ones that are going to be successful are very successful. We're selling mugs. Who knew that mugs were going to be so successful? Okay, I mean, we don't make a lot of money, but we sell a lot of mugs, you know? So I mean, that's a great way to...
When would you start your organizing for the ride? How far out? When's your planning start?
The last day of the ride is the first day of the next ride.
Yeah.
That's it. Never stops.
Okay.
It really doesn't. I can get into it. I know we don't have much time left, but I can get into it. I mean, you have to capture names. You have to make sure that you're recognizing the people who are doing it. You have to make sure that there's always, if you talk to them a year later, they don't remember what your name is. They remember what their name is, okay? So, I mean, things change every day. And you have to, you know, you have to make sure presence of mind and results are very key. Media is very key.
Yeah, key. Let's just remind everybody that the Mackenzie Vaughn Hospital Motorcycle Ride is this Sunday, June the 7th, and you have to be at the park at 10 a.m., I believe, and they have to show up where they want to participate.
Okay, let me tell you how it works. Okay, so on Sunday, June the 7th, we will be meeting at 2601 Rutherford Road, and that is the city of Vaughan at Wegg's Sports Bar, Stadium and Bar. And we will be riding 100 miles, 160 kilometers through up northern Ontario. There will be a break in Orangeville. Food is always supplied. We take experienced riders, non-experienced riders. You'll be very happy, very safe. We don't hit any major high roads. We give you a quick little training on how you should be riding. We have ride marshals. It is a non-police escort. But
cruisers are welcome. All riders are welcome. All riders are welcome. Whether you ride across.
Yeah, all ride.
Sport bike or
yes, but. Yep. But there is a minimum. You have to have at least 125 cc's. You can't,
right.
You know, you can't really, it can't be, I mean, there are some vests, but 125 cc's, you really have to have it. Everybody has to have proper riding gear. Okay.
Right.
And that's what it's all about. And you can locate us. I know it's a lot. At certain parts we will. But I will have to tell you, I hope your audience can bear with me. It's Mackenzie Vaughn HospitalMotorcycleRide.com. Please come on, check out last year's ride. You'll have a great time. Let's hope for sunny weather, and off we go.
Lots of fun. And if you like this one, you can go do one every weekend.
you know what,
like
Frankie? You can. You certainly can. You know, but what
Isn't
am I going to get you on the...
Yeah, you know, I was just going to say, it really is a great way to gain a lot of experience really quickly because you go for a long distance and, you know,
but
you don't normally...
But you make a lot of...
You make a lot of friends.
You make great friends, too. Yep. You make great friends too. During the year, we you make friends. We go on long rides. Acme Motorcycle Club, you know, we go on huge rides. So I was looking for people who want to do the 5,000-kilometer rides. We do those, you know, for 10 days. It's nice, too.
So you're going to stick with this for another couple of years? The hospital's going to be built 2019, right? Pretty far out.
That's right. 2019, God willing. We'll see what happens, you know. I mean, we hope it's coming. I mean, it will be coming, just, you know, whether it's everything seems always to be a delay, whether it's a hospital or a subway or something, who knows, you know.
But they have their site. They have a dedicated site. It's been bought.
There's it's all set and ready to go. I mean, there are, you know, we don't have enough time to talk about what's happening in that end of it, but, you know, I'm sure you're, you know, if you live in Vaughan, you know what's going on. So as we say in Vaughan, all for Vaughan and Vaughan for all, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think I got that one. Yeah, that's funny. So, what else are you doing? What else do you do community-wise? Anything? Is it taking up all your time?
What else am I doing? Well, people ask if I'm running again. I have made a decision. We have a few other things. Sorry?
Does it cost money to run?
Oh, yeah.
Personally.
Oh, yeah, it does. But what
yeah?
we, you know, I've also started.
You
yeah, I've also. Oh, you certainly do. You know, that's not a bad idea. But we have a few other things that we have on the that are going, you know, as far. You know me. I mean, I'd like to have my hands on a lot of things. We have Thumbs Up Entertainment that's coming across. A lot of great things. You know what, Frankie? I will tell you that it's the message to your people out there. Don't sit around. Don't let life go by you. Don't be lazy. Get out there, and if you walk out the door, something is going to happen. Some things are good, some things are bad, but the thing about life is, don't be 80 years old and turn around and go, you know what, I wasted my time. Get involved with charities. Get involved with what's important to you, because, you know, at the end of the day, you are going to feel great. And it doesn't matter how many toys you have at the end of the day. We are in a time of our lives where we have to reach out. And we have to understand that you get to a certain age, it's our turn to contribute. And it's not about money. It's about what makes you a better person. And what makes you somebody who, and I know you wrote, you know, like, and I don't want to bring in politics, but I will tell you, after I read your article today, I am furious. I am furious at what's happening with the black rhino or the pollution in the air or the ozone. I mean, are we stupid people? You not see what's going on? Get
We're
involved because
We're selfish
well,
people.
We are. But just in closing, I will tell you that your vote counts. People are winning elections by 106 votes. Your vote counts. If you think it doesn't, it does. More now than
I won't listen to anybody talk about politics who doesn't vote. That's my rule. You don't have. You can't
beautiful
complain
rule.
If you don't vote.
Beautiful rule.
I will not
beautiful
listen to complaints
rule.
If you don't vote. That's just the way it is.
Beautiful
yeah. well,
rule.
I have been speaking to Styles Q Weinberg today, and you can reach him if you want to talk to him personally. At tell him where how they can get you.
Yep.
Not your phone number, your email. Don't give me your phone number.
I'm going to give both of you. So
okay.
It's styles@stylesq.com. Okay? Easy. And my phone number out there, people, is 416-931-4555.
You are a brave man.
I am indeed.
Thank you again for joining us on the Good Radio Network, wherever you are. Day or night, it's been a pleasure having you with us, and I thank you for joining us. And Style, thank you for joining me today as well on the Good Radio Network. Take care, everybody.
God bless
you.
You're amazing.
God bless. Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Now.